Okay, we are live. Welcome to Dynasty Saturday Night 5, Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast for the Going for Two Live Network. Please make sure you subscribe, rate, review, follow, all that jazz for the Going for Two Live audio feed. If you're watching here on the YouTubes and elsewhere, do the other things that feed the algorithm monster, the likes, the comments, the subscribing, the bells, the notifications, and all that jazz. Tonight we're going to be talking about, let's also help the algorithm because the AI scrubs the audio. So Rookie sleeper, NFL draft, rookie sleeper. I'm Brian Ford, not joined by my usual co-host, Josh Walker. He was going to be here. It was going to be a threesome. But either way, I am joined by the very first guest that this podcast ever had a while back when we had a sub for Josh. And we were talking about tips for Dynasty Rebuilders, and that's my friend in the mountains of New Mexico, not in Breaking Bad, New Mexico, and that is Troy, Voice in Fuego. How are you doing?
I am good. It's actually pretty nice here today. I took in some skiing this morning, and then they were having the cardboard derby up there at Sipapoo, and so watch the cardboard derby. I'm going to put some videos of that up on my YouTube, which is also Voice in Fuego, and you can find me pretty much everywhere on the internet under Voice in Fuego at this point. I even changed my Instagram, which forever I had kind of hidden away from all the peoples of the internet and just kept it for myself. But I decided, what the heck, let's just get that branding all in order and get it there too.
Yeah, no, that's very efficient use of the social media IDs and algorithms. So what is the cardboard derby?
So literally people take cardboard boxes and they build them into methods of transportation, and they drag them up to, depending on how old they are, mid-mountain or the top of the run. And they, some of these people, and I will have to link you some of the videos, Brian, some of these people put real time and effort into it. Like, they had tanks that they would crawl in the back or the side of, and then they would shoot down this mountain, and like parts of the, they'd hit the walls were built up. It was set up like a short bobsled type track. And so the walls would build up and they would hit the walls and they would roll. So you had to have a helmet to do this, but these people would roll inside of these cardboard boxes. Some were literally just a cardboard sheet. And then, you know, and they had somehow attached something to hold on to, and off they went. It actually is really, really neat. I've got a bunch of videos from it that I'm going to get posted, but I'll make sure I link you a few of them.
Now, are there strict rules where people can cheat, like the Pinewood Derby when I was a Cub Scout, or is this more of a free-for-all?
I was pretty good at the Pinewood Derby. I miss those days. I think it's more of a free-for-all. I have not I've not looked in a while to see what the actual rules are, because I haven't competed. I'm trying to talk. My brother, there's talk that my brother-in-law may be moving to Colorado with my sister-in-law. And if that happens, I may see if he wants, we want to get their kids in it, but I want to see if he wants to do it with me, because there is an adult division. Mm. And I think it'd be so much fun. And the people that did it, they, you know, when they'd come back up for their second run, they were talking about such a rush and everything. And it just looked like a lot of fun. So yeah, Definitely something I got to look more into next year.
All right. So keep an eye out for those videos, folks, of the cardboard derby. So as you might know, if you're a regular viewer and listener, and if you're not, then you don't know, we use lists of five just as a way to kind of the vehicle to talk about the Dynasty fantasy football topic that we want to talk about. And tonight we're going to take a break from NFL draft Dynasty prospect evaluation dick measuring season, where people are just assholes to each other on Twitter, and just have some and fun already with you know, talking about some rookie sleepers that like, hey, if they hit it'll be fun. You know, there's a couple that I have in mind, you know, that Troy didn't bring up, and maybe Josh and I'll do an episode on that too. Like, I know Tyrone Tracy's getting some steam. I like Jared Wiley, the tight end, you know. But we're gonna get Troy's thoughts on the five that he chose tonight, and then we'll just kind of have fun discussing them. And then wrap things up. But before we get going, today's show is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog has it all, industry leader with player pick'ems, DFS, big tournaments, private leagues, anything you could have, anything your pretty heart desires. They have the big board going now. They have rookies and sophomores going now. You know, and I'm certainly a D-gen throwing down some money pre-NFL draft that I don't have and can't afford on these on these tournaments and stuff. But why am I talking about this? Well, Going for Two and Underdog have a partnership wherein if you go to underdog.com or the Underdog app and you are a new account and you use the promo code GF2, Josh Norris of Underdog himself will match up to $100 of your first deposit. So if you deposit $2, he'll give you two. If you deposit $101 or more, all you get is $100. You know how it works. If you're watching here on the YouTubes or elsewhere, we have a nice shiny QR code for you to scan. If you're just listening or can't scan the QR code, again, go to underdog.com or the Underdog app. Use promo code GF2. Plunk down some money, start playing, and maybe even start winning. All right, Troy, let's kick it off. Who is the first rookie sleeper that you want to talk about tonight?
All right, so all but one of these I got from different groups that I'm in. I do a lot of Patreons, and I do want to say this. For your mental health, X is probably the worst place you can live, or Twitter. So I highly recommend, if you can afford it, finding a group that for a Patreon, I have a couple of those, or join the Discord for Going for Two. It's actually a pretty safe place to ask a lot of questions, get a lot of help. I try to jump in there when I can, but my schedule doesn't allow me nearly as much as I wish. But definitely find yourself a place outside of X for, you know, your normal fantasy conversation. You're gonna be much happier with it. That's my public service announcement. Now, with that being said, I reached into the Patreons that I am in, and I asked around and to find out who people were interested in. And so all but one of these came from that, and I'm not professional enough to actually put who mentioned these people, but I'm going to give you four that were from my groups, and then one is mine because it has come from listening to other people talk about him. But that's a long way to say our first one is Bub Means. He's a wide receiver from the Pittsburgh Panthers. I don't currently have him on my list in my top 50. We'll see what the draft says, and then that might change that. He actually started out as a defensive back, and then he moved to wide receiver when he transferred from Tennessee to La Tech, Louisiana Tech. He has been very successful as a college wide receiver at Louisiana Tech, you know, but it is Louisiana Tech, so take it for what that's worth. He has been very good at a player that can get downfield and catch the big pass, and but he doesn't appear to be real fantasy relevant right now. He's, according to what I could find, he's probably going to go in the day three of the draft or maybe later. He's a little older, which you will find seems to be a common thing with some of these guys that we're going to talk about today. But I think that's something that we're not going to see for much longer. I think the COVID era of college prospects has really changed things, and I don't get too caught up on age anymore because it was so common for, you know, players to stay in school a little longer because they could. He's got good size, but and he could be a field stretcher. But all in all, he's not somebody that's probably going to be on your rookie radar right now, but he should at least be in your back pocket.
Yeah, I've heard a few people talk about Means. I've looked into him. I have him here in my spreadsheet, you know, and for what it's worth, if y'all go to goingfor2.com and go to the rookie ranks, I have him as my wide receiver 28. But how meaningful is that when everybody after, I don't know, wide receiver 10 or 15 is kind of like interchangeable, you know, and we'll see what happens with draft capital and landing spot and who's a UDFA and all that. Jeff Bell of the W Royale and Football Guys kind of called Bub Means like, he's Xavier Leggett, just, you know, in not as good as a football situation, right? He's that fifth year, big athletic, outside boundary guy who you have to be skeptical of the fifth year breakout and sort of playing at Pitt. But he has certainly flashed traits of, being able to work defensive backs and get downfield. And, you know, who knows, right? All he needs is a shot and he might hit. So, yeah, keep your eyes out for Bub. Who is the next? You're on mute at the moment.
Yeah, it doesn't do much good to talk when you have it muted. Sorry, my dogs were we're not helping my professionalism. is he a fifth year or is he a sixth year? I thought I had read that he was a, one of those legendary sixth year guys that the COVID
fifth. Let me
generation has brought us. But he could be five. He's 23. He's going to be 23 in January. That is what I have here from.
I have him down as a fifth year player in two different spots. So I think
it's that's probably right. Then I thought he was one of those legendary sixth year players or 9 year players or whatever people could get during COVID. The next one I really like, and I forgot to put down what school he went to, but Javion Baker, I've got him kind of in the middle of the second to middle of the third round is where I'm going to be looking to pick him up. He's one of the many wide receivers in this class. One thing that we talked about off the air was I've always been a running back guy, but the game's changed. Running backs aren't the way they used to be. I was a firm believer in draft running back and trade for wide receiver because the second week of the preseason, you could trade a fourth round running back for a first round wide receiver every year without fail. That's going away. That's going to be much more difficult to do. So I will be drafting many more wide receivers. And one of them that I am looking at is Javion Baker. This is somebody that was brought up from one of my groups. He's going to be really dependent on where he gets drafted. And what's funny about that, I want to make sure I have this as the right guy. As I was doing this research, popped into my Twitter line 4 hours ago from Tony Pauline, who seems to be a legitimate source. He works for Sportskeeda and apparently seems like he knows what he's doing. Javion Baker of UCF has used some of his visits. He set him up with the Patriots, the Houston Texans, and the Chiefs. Teams feel that he can play right away, and they like his catching radius with his 32 and a quarter inch arms. Now, I don't know what my arms are. I'm a big guy. I think I got some arms going on. But the more I read on this guy, the more I like him. I typically just use a couple other sources that I have, J.J. Zachariasen, Emory Hunt, a few others that have draft guides on from people on that I like from our site as well. And, you know, just different places. And I use the numbers and I build out my draft list. And then I watch for things like this because everybody's going to be great in the preseason. We know that. But you got to listen. You got to listen to the things that are a little unusual. And this is one of those things that I think is unusual. J.J. Zachariasen has him comping to – one of his comps is to Michael Gallup, and I like that.
Yeah.
He is somebody that I think – you know, he had a couple years with Alabama, and he was good with that team. And we all know how good Alabama's been over the last decade, and so that's definitely not somebody I would put past. And he's – you know, he was competing for touches with, you know, Devonta Smith, John Mechie, Jameson Wilson, Williams. You know, it took him a little while to get production. So that's held him down a little bit. But, man, if he ends up, like, on Houston, I hope not because Tank Dell's my boy. but if he ends up, you know, with the Chiefs, which have way too much hype around Hollywood Brown right now, they still need some legitimate wide receivers. And he's somebody that if he ends up there – The draft capital is, especially if he goes early at all, the draft capital is going to be nuts, and he's going to rise up boards. Jamie Perog says he's seen Baker as rookie wide receiver 6. I believe it. There's just – the thing is, this wide receiver class, wide receiver 6 could be in the middle of the second round because they're, you know, you're going to have the three big ones, and then you're going to have a couple more in the first round. And then at some point, I play super flex. So if you're playing standard one QB, then he's going to be, he could be a first round talent for a lot of one QB drafts. But I mostly play super flex, and there is a couple there, you know, there's obviously some quarterbacks in the draft. One that we're going to talk about here that, you know, might creep up on my board just because I'm somebody that takes QBs over everybody else. But he is somebody I really like. Like I said, middle of the second round right now for me, you know, like 25 overall, that's quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends. I've got him about 25, but I'm ready to move him up if he gives me a reason to. And I'm not usually somebody that moves up based on draft, but my friend Run DFF, Justin from the Hot Sauce Pod, one thing he has always said that, you know, is the NFL will tell you what they think of a player. And that's going to come up again later on. And I think that's important to know because if the NFL is low on a guy, There's a reason why. And we might think they're great, and they might be great. But if the NFL doesn't believe they're great, they're the NFL is who's playing the players. And so as great as we might think a guy might be, if his draft capital is low, then it's going to be very hard to see Baker moving up. But if his draft capital is high, if they tell us that he's, you know, a strong candidate for a starting role, then I'm listening.
Yeah, you know, I'm on both sides of that argument as far as, like, let the NFL tell you. I think for me it's more applicable when a guy falls, because 32 teams ostensibly have to let the guy fall. If the guy is overdrafted and taken early, only one team has to be convinced enough to do that. But some people are convinced enough to have Javon Baker ranked very highly. As Jamie pointed out, there's a, you know, wide receiver 6 in someone's rankings. I think that was – I know Debro from Fantasy Pros loves him and I think has him as high as 6. He's getting a lot of steam. People like him as a sleeper. If you want to hear, you know, what some of the concerns are around Javon Baker, if you've never heard of him before, you know, he is a 4-year player with the late breakout in the 4th year. He did transfer out of Alabama. That's fine, but he transferred down to UCF, which is much, you know, much worse competition. And then tested athletically, not so great as much as we would have wanted at the combine. He kind of got dinged for me there. You know, he's ran in the 4.5s, overall RAS above 7, below 8. You know, for me, he's wide receiver 17, but he's in a tier of 12 to 19. And as you said, you know, since there's so many wide receivers who have some path to success as a wide receiver 2 or 3 on an NFL team this year, there's no reason that after the draft is all said and done that, you know, Baker as my wide receiver 17 is all of a sudden up there in the tier that I have from 6 to 11 or something like that, you know, because of where he ended up and then some other guys fell. I see him as a, you know, a good rotational, not necessarily rotational, but certainly a wide receiver 2 in an NFL team at most. You know, that's kind of his ceiling. I have him 35 overall, but again, you know, that's in a big ass tier in the overall Superflex rankings of, let's see here, you know, 21 to 38, because it's like, hey, who knows? That's the second and third round. We'll see how it shakes out with everybody. But yeah, a name to definitely keep your eye on. He's getting some steam. Yeah, Javon Baker.
And the third one, staying at wide receiver, I bet everybody's just shocked. I mean, you could really – it's not going to be surprising. If you have a 5-round rookie draft in Dynasty, it's not out of the realm of possibility that all 5 players you draft are wide receivers, because there are so many options. If this is the year that if you can trade – if you feel like you're comfortable enough to trade a veteran wide receiver because he's somebody that you see tailing off or whatever, this is the year to do it, because you can find a replacement this year on your taxi squad. And so as we continue on here, Jalen McMillan, he is actually an interesting one that I found after, like I said, this one came from my groups as well. He unfortunately has been behind or playing alongside Roma Dunze, a name that we all know, a name that's probably going to be everybody's third wide receiver. He's probably not going to get in that first, second mix, but he is probably in a tier of his own at 3. And he's probably going to be in a lot of QB1 drafts. He will probably be the 3rd overall pick, maybe 4 if you have a tight end premium. In super flex drafts, he's probably going to be going as high as 6, and I would think no lower than 9 unless the NFL tells us something else, or he breaks his leg in the preseason and you have your draft after that or something. But other than that, I think, you know, Roma Dunze is going to be a big name, as well as Jalen Polk, which is not a guy I've spent a lot of time on, but he's above him in J.J. Zachariasen's ratings. But McMillan, who we're talking about, Jalen McMillan from Washington, he comps, according to J.J. Zachariasen, to Kenny Stills and somebody you may have heard of. I like to call him the sun god, Amon-Ra St. Brown. So if he's anything like St. Brown, I'm in. Sign me up. I take him. You know, I had him in my – I was looking through my ratings again. Another guy that's in that tier. And I tell people, don't ever go off of pure rating. You need to set your ratings up in tiers. Do enough research that you have, okay, I could take one of these 5 or these 3 or 10 or whatever number of guys it is. I've got this group of guys that I don't care who I get out of there. They're all kind of the same to me. So So McMillan's kind of in that bunch for me of that mid-second, upper third draft area right now. Again, waiting for what the NFL tells me about his draft capital. You know, does he fall into a place that I like? But he's got a lot of talent. So if he's there in the middle of the second round, I'm probably jumping on him. He's honestly got a lot of stats and a lot of numbers that are close to Odunze. Not quite as good, but he's right there. He's step for step with Polk. Obviously, he had a lot of competition at Washington, which is something you want to see because there's going to be competition in the NFL. That's one thing that people forget is, well, I'm gonna value that player more because he had to deal with a lot of guys in college. Well, guess what? He's going to deal with a lot of guys in the NFL too. They've already gotten here. They already know the system. They already know what's going on. He's going to have to compete. But I like it when they compete because it shows they can do that. So he's a guy that's competed. But one of the knocks on him is that about 90% of the routes that he ran in 22 and 23 were out of the slot. Mm-hmm. And in the NFL now, wide receivers don't just play the X or the Y or the slot like they used to. They're kind of all over the field, and so are tight ends and offensive linemen sometimes too. Who knows? But everybody's catching passes. But that is one thing that McMillan can do, but he has done it mostly out of the slot. Can he get to be an outside guy? Possibly. We don't know yet. You know, what does some learning from NFL coaches and trainers do for you, you know? And so he's somebody I like. And I mean, anybody that somebody I trust can compare to Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'm in.
Yeah. You know, again, you know, McMillan for me is in that tier of 12 to 19. He sits at 16, right above Baker. Right below Baker is his teammate, Jalen Polk. To me, they're kind of a coin flip as far as like the next guy that gets drafted after Odunze and the next guy that gets drafted in fantasy drafts. Although I think most people have the edge to Polk. To me, again, they're essentially a coin flip, not only in the same tier, but only separated by two individual ranks. You know, yeah, there are knocks on him. You know, the slot only stuff is, you know, NFL receivers can very much succeed in the slot only these days, but it does narrow your path. And I don't know that he has the type of strength that you want to see for that size to play on the outside. Pretty good athletic testing. I think it was a 9.39. So that pops, but nothing really popped on tape as like, oh, wow. So again, I think he's more of like a wide receiver 2-3 type, but in the right situation, on the right team, that wide receiver 2-3 role could still be very productive for fantasy football relative to guys who might have a bigger role on worse offenses. So, you know, definitely a guy to keep your eye on. Really, both of those, the Jalen's on Washington. You know, he had to compete with Polk and Odunze, but also I think, you know, you can say he benefited from Polk and Odunze. And you can also say, well, you know, he didn't really have good years until, you know, he played in a pro-style offense with a, you know, 50-year-old, sixth-year quarterback, you know. But again, like, I'm just kind of pointing out the knocks here or there. We're trying to have some fun tonight. And some fun is, hey, you know, let's see if Jalen McMillan gets a, you know, good, you know, the right draft capital on the right team with an offense where, you know, you mentioned the Texans before and Tank Dell being your boy. Tank Dell wins from the inside and the outside, right? So Jalen McMillan could go there and just be that like solid floor presence as the wide receiver 3 and be a slightly bigger slot guy on that team. And you still move Tank Dell all around the field and, you know, maybe everybody eats. Yeah.
You know, and it's, while we're being good about it too, you know, you got to look at the negative, especially with these guys. That's the problem. You know, I used to do a podcast on late round picks because I was killing it on third and fourth round picks for about 3 years. And then I've been kind of in a slump lately because they don't turn out in general. I mean, the win rate is like 25 or 30%, if that. And so I think, you know, you got to look at the negatives with these guys, but I think this year's draft class, there is going to be, I think, a lot of sleepers that you really do have to look at the positives and negatives on, and you really have to know what you're looking at because, I mean, I think some of these guys are going to be huge, especially in an era when the wide receiver is such a big deal and there's so many good wide receivers out there and, you know, who's going to hit this year. And, you know, you got to watch for the right kind of news with some of these guys. So Tank Dell was somebody I was in on. Again, I mentioned Justin, and he always gave me crap for Tank Dell because I was in on Tank Dell early and often, and I have him about everywhere I could get him. There's a couple places I still wish I had him that I don't. And one of the things was CJ Stroud kept saying how he wanted Tank Dell and how we had this relationship between CJ Stroud and Tank Dell. And to me, that was very interesting because we knew he was going to be Houston's quarterback. So if he's the guy throwing the ball to somebody catching the ball and he wants Tank Dell, you know, then there's something to be said for that. So everybody's going to be great in the preseason. Everybody's at their best weight. They've never looked better. They haven't been this good since 2019. You know, we hear it all the time. You know, Ezekiel Elliott every year is going to be the greatest running back ever. And he's, you know, he's on his downside, but he's still pretty decent. But you know, that whole thing with Stroud and Dell, it just really perked my ears. And I kept telling people, CJ Stroud likes Tank Dell. There's something there. We've got to listen to what they're telling us because, yes, well, everybody's great. And you do listen to the negatives because the negatives, if somebody is negative on somebody, that's a big, big deal. But when you hear something from the quarterback and he's specifically, you know, singling out a wide receiver time and time again, listen to that. If we hear that with some of these guys, man, move them up your list because, you know, they might be the next Tank Dell guy, you know. And, you know, in our chat, Kyle had mentioned that he likes Jamie Baker a lot. He had seen him as high as wide receiver 6. He thinks it was John Law, Lobb. I don't know how you could forget if it was John Lobb because it was probably yelled at you. But, you know, John really does, as much as I make a joke, John Lobb does a really good job with
college. Oh, we love him, yeah.
Players, and he's very, very smart, very good. And so major props to John. If that's where he's seeing Baker, that definitely makes him more of an interest to me too, because that's somebody I trust. And that's the other thing, is if it's me or if it's, you know, somebody else from a different group, or like for me, JJ, like I said before, JJ Zachariasen, Emory Hunt play, if you don't know who he is, he's on with I just had a brain fart. He's on a podcast I listen to and he played football in college, didn't make it to the pros, but he's very, very good at what he does. And I'm going to bring Emory Hunt up in one of my later ones here because he's really high on the guy, but he's somebody that really knows what he's doing. But he kind of sticks to the guys that he's on. He never changes. He's on the guys and he stays on the guys regardless of, you know, anything that happens, because if they were good, then they're good now because we haven't played any football. You know, a lot of people change their opinions of players through the offseason, be it the combine or whatever. Numbers don't lie, as my friend Shane says. Numbers don't lie, or stats don't lie. And, you know, you just got to look at the stats. They're not going to change in the offseason. You know, they're not – nothing is changing. So that's another thing to keep in mind, is if you see somebody that's changing a lot, you got to question that, because why are they changing? Because there shouldn't be that much change right now because we're not playing football. So unless there's something to do with the draft, there's no reason to be, you know, making big moves on a player right now.
Yeah, you know, you're talking to somebody who actually changes his rankings a lot, but those are like small tweaks. And, you know, generally the buckets that the guys are in are the same, and I'm just moving them within the buckets, because for me it's a process of refining things and saying, like, you know, generally here are my priors, but if I get new information, I'm willing to adapt on it. Where I messed up was with Tank Dell. You know, I knew he was an elite separator. I knew he left the senior bowl early, you know? So that means, like, the NFL told him, you got day two capital, you're good. He went to the third round, right? I underestimated Bobby Slowick. I underestimated the CJ Stroud factor of requesting him. And I will admit, I knocked him for his size. I looked at the size and I said the hit rate on like 165 pound guys, and he's a fourth year player coming from a group of five school. Like, is this really who we want to? And so, yeah, I had him when we were talking about rookie sleepers last year, me and Josh. He was my wide receiver dynasty overall 94 going, like, at some point in the offseason last year. And you can see what happened there. Troy's got a lot of fans around the internet, by the way, which I find out every time that we talk and that we have a show together. Enjoy your piff later. I will as well. Who's the next guy that you want to talk about?
So I do want to say one more thing. So if you're talking about just changing within a tier, like I talked about, that's fine, because you should move your guys around within your tier. You've got to be happy. You got to be happy with where you're at within your tier. But again, you could get to your draft and you could have any of these five guys, and you may not take the top one because it may not fit with your team build, which you should draft talent, not build. But if you got five guys you're choosing from and they're all the same talent, then yeah, you can use build as a tiebreaker. And so, you know, maybe moving around there doesn't make as much of a difference. So that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you'll see some of these talking heads move a quarterback from QB. I'm making this up, but I've seen them move like a QB from QB 6 to QB 1. And you're like, well, what changed, you know? So anyways, moving on to the next one. Now we actually get to talk about my favorite position for fantasy football that I don't draft anymore, and running back.
Favorite position is football. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. And this actually came from my friend Kyle Senra, who you know as well. And
Kyle, Kyle has this guy as his RB1, all right, folks? So Kyle loves this guy.
But Kyle is also one of the smartest people I know in this field. So,
except when it comes to running, but no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, when it comes, I mean, Kyle's opinions are one that I do trust. I mean, yeah, he's one of the lesser known guys. You know, he's not, again, you know, somebody like J.J. Zacharias and that has this huge following or whatever. But Kyle knows what he's talking about. So anyways, Kyle Senra sent me Blake Watson, running back out of Memphis. We were just, I think the Tank Dell is a nice move right to this because he's kind of a smaller guy. He's 5'9", 195 pounds. He's dynamic and versatile. I found it interesting that he played wide receiver in high school. Mm-hmm. I think that's important in today's NFL because running backs spend so much time catching the ball instead of running the ball. He also can return kicks. I play in a 16-team league that has a decent reward for kickoff return, so that's important to me for that league. But also, if a guy can return kicks, that means he's on the team. Sometimes being on the team is the important thing. I know there's a lot of people out there that say any RB on 53 is worth having on your roster because, you know, they might get a shot. We've seen how running backs get hurt. And so somebody like him that can return kicks, that means that he's going to he's likely to make whatever team he gets drafted by, and he's likely to have a role. And so that's important because we might see him get a shot earlier than some other guys. He started out at small school with Old Dominion. Actually, they canceled their COVID season. He is a six-year senior, and he's small. He doesn't have a high top-end speed. There is a lot of negatives with Blake Watson, but there is one in this entire running back class. So if you are going to draft a running back, or if you're at the point where, you know, right now he's not in my top 30, but, you know, if he's somebody that Kyle really likes, he's somebody I need to dig into a little farther because maybe he needs to be. But again, I may not draft a running back this year, and I'm a guy that drafts a running back 2 out of 5 rounds every year. And the other 3 are probably quarterbacks because that's how I really believe that in Superflex you have running backs and quarterbacks, but that's changing. But, you know, Kyle is ready. Blake Watson averaged 1,400 scrimmage yards per season in the NCAA. It was the highest of anyone in his class that Kyle evaluated. That says a lot. That is a player that can make a difference on a team. And the NFL is going to tell us what they think. And if he's a guy that the NFL sees with decent draft capital, he's going to be a guy that's going to move way up my rankings because he's a guy that's going to get a shot. And for a running back, you just got to get a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. And also with running back, you know, it's important to remember, you know, what Zach Reed of Dynasty Dummies and Fantasy Cares says a lot. And that's, you know, running back is an elevator. And wide receiver is an escalator. Running back is next man up, right? You just boom. Okay, you're the guy that's healthy. Here's the carries, right? Wide receiver is an escalator. You can get on the field when somebody's injured or whatever, but you're not always going to get the targets, right? You have to kind of, you know, earn that and move through that ladder of trust, you know, where you don't have to do that with running back. Yeah, I guess I'm going to throw some cold water on Blake Watson, or at least tell people out there who have never heard him or heard of him, like what some of the knocks are. He's my running back 16 in a tier of 14 to 18. But let me say this about the 2024 running back class. I'm not going to say it's underrated. I'm going to say it's overhated. It lacks the top end guys like Bijan, Breece, Gibbs, you know, maybe even a Kenneth Walker and Etienne level prospect, you know, of the last few years. But whoever your RB1 is, whether it's Blake Watson or Blake Corum, as Toronto Dave said in the chat, right, or, you know, for me, it's Jonathan Brooks. You probably should feel about as good about him as you did about Zach Charbonnet, maybe, you know, pre-draft last year. So it's not that bad a class, right? It does have warts. You know, there's really, you know, like I said, no high-end talent and no person who has like a clear path to a three-down role, even if the ceiling is low. But what I'm doing with that tier of running backs from 14 and really from 9 to 18 is like, listen, after the first 8 or so that I have, let me take some upside or PPR shots on guys like Kamani Vidal, who's one of my favorite running back sleepers in this class, or, you know, Will Shipley for PPR, or Dylan Laube for PPR, or Blake Watson for PPR or unexpected ceiling. The thing with Watson, though, is, you know, yeah, the transfer, and he's, you know, a fifth-year player and, you know, playing in Memphis, group of five, and that sort of thing. And is it going to translate to the NFL? You know, the agility, you know, and the receiving might, but that might be it. Like, I think he's looking at a scat back or satellite back role, which is fine. We love PPR, but it's also a narrow path. It's a limited ways in which he can win sort of thing. And you know, I don't like to helmet scout, as people say, but we've seen Memphis turn out running backs that we get excited about who are versatile or pass catchers, Kenny Gainwell and Antonio Gibson, and there's another one or two that I'm forgetting. But they don't really seem to pan out much for the NFL and fantasy. They have low ceilings. Now, you know, is Watson perhaps a better prospect than those guys were? I don't know, maybe. But he's a name to watch because, it, like you said, draft capital and landing spots going to matter so much for running backs lately, especially this year. We have no idea what's going to happen, right? Like, yeah, he's a day three guy, right? But let's say he gets pretty decent early day three capital, like fourth round, right, to a team who passes to the running backs a lot, or, you know, who lost their satellite back to free agency or something, right? Like, then you're like, okay. Yeah.
It doesn't have a back.
Right. Then you're like, okay, yeah, sure, why not? I'll roll the dice on him before I'm going to roll the dice on reliable old plotters from the Power Five, like Kendall Milton and Jace McClellan and Dylan Johnson, who Kyle also likes. But yeah, so that's kind of my kind of good and bad on Blake Watson.
I'm not saying he's the same person, but you did kind of forget one bigger name Memphis running back. And if this could be his ceiling, I'd be okay with it, but he could be Tony Pollard.
Okay, sure. Yeah, okay.
I mean, he's kind of built the same way. He kind of has the same game. He's coming from the same place. But I think that's interesting. You know, I'm going to go a little off track here because I saw something in the chat that grabbed my attention. Jamie Perog said, and I hope I say his name right. I have no idea. But anyways, he said Evan Hull with a whole bunch of question marks. And I don't know.
Well, Kyle loved him last year. That's why. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't think that's a bad love either because I have Evan Hull on a lot of teams. He is my last guy. I'm a big believer in churning the last spot on your roster if you can. And Evan's the guy on mine because if JT gets hurt, he's the guy. And he's one of the few ones that you can grab and know that because a lot of it you can't really handcuff because you don't know who's going to come out of that backfield. But it looks like Evan Hull is the guy behind JT. And if that's the case, I want to have, you know, somebody, one of the few, you know, situations where the running back isn't in a committee, I want to have the guy that's his surefire backup, and that seems to be Evan Hull. So I do like Evan Hull a little bit, but I wasn't sure where that was coming from, but I'm glad you
did.
Yeah.
Well, and folks may forget, he was injured severely very early in the season, so he's been out of sight, out of mind. You know, this might be the first year back from that injury, so, you know, he maybe is rusty a little bit, but, you know, he's still an early day three back who had some versatility, who we kind of liked last year as a sleeper or a guy who could contribute if someone went down with an injury and that sort of thing. And so, yeah, you know, why not in 2024 as well. Okay, so are we at our fifth and final? Yeah, we're at our fifth and final sleeper. Who is your
so this one is one that I'm actually kind of excited about. I don't know if that's the right term because they're sleepers, but he's somebody that I'm definitely keeping an eye on. I want the NFL to tell me what they think of him, and I want to see his landing spot because it's going to matter. And I think it matters for Blake Watson too, because for all the reasons we were just talking about, because normally I'm not big on talent over draft spot, don't get me wrong. But when you get into sleepers and this kind of stuff, you do kind of got to look at where they fall because it does matter. And especially with running backs, you got to look where they fall because it matters. This is another guy that it's going to matter where he falls because he's got to get in the right situation. He's got to get into – if he falls into a situation where the quarterback is at question and he's the next guy, I'm interested. Spencer Rattler.
Mm.
So Rattler was somebody that could have went in the second round last year. I saw a lot of things that had him drafting into the second round last year. He is somebody that Emory Hunt at F-Ball Game Plan loves. Loves, loves, loves. He's had him as literally his number one QB all year. And he won the Senior Bowl MVP. You know, he can break sacks. He makes throws you want to see. He's improved over the last few years, but he is older. Mm-hmm. And he's spent a lot of time in the pros. He's transferred around a little bit. He's definitely a guy that is questionable. He is somebody, again, in my mid-second, I'm sure you guys are tired of hearing this, mid-second, third tier, but that's a decent tier. You know, he is a guy that I'm looking at that late in the second round or anywhere in the third, I will probably take Spencer Rattler. So if you're in a league with me, he ain't getting past there if you want him. And you may not want him. He's not a guy that's going to – you know, there's a lot of big-name quarterbacks in this. There's at least three, four, five big-name quarterbacks in this draft. Spencer Rattler ain't one of them. But some stuff that I have found says he should be. Mm. So, you know, he's a sleeper. Let's put it that way. He needs the right situation. If he was the guy drafted to the Giants, I'm interested. Okay. You know, if he's drafted to Kansas City, I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. But if he's drafted to, you know – somewhere that has a quarterback battle, somewhere that the quarterback may be leaving next year. That's another thing to look at. Could he be a guy that a year or two down the road is in line for the spot? Is he somebody that I can put on my taxi squad this year? And then do I have enough bench space to keep him for one more year after that? Because he may be that guy. But in Superflex, that guy has value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, to the extent that we can have a sleeper in among quarterbacks, Rattler's as fine a choice as just about anybody else. There's a lot of people who feel that the NFL will like him more than the fantasy community does, and I don't think that that's wild to think that. You know, his story, as you said, is very, very interesting. You know, when he was sort of young and dumb and arrogant, he was on that QB show on Netflix, has done a lot of, you know, did not handle Caleb Williams ousting him well. And so he transferred to South Carolina. We do, I think he's a fifth-year player, or at least fourth. You know, we're looking at a guy who has matured from all accounts, and can still has an NFL arm and can make throws. He's got flaws. He's definitely got flaws. Like there's no question about that. But it's also important to realize that he was playing behind a very bad offensive line at South Carolina both years, especially I think the first year there. You know, like I think they had 10 different starting line combinations in like 12 or 13 games. You know, it's a very bad situation there. He also had pretty much a lack of weapons too. And just in 2023, pretty much the only person he was throwing to was Xavier Leggett, you know. So, you know, there's definitely a there, right? And as you said, you know, where he lands is very, very, very important, because quarterback, to the extent that any position can be a crapshoot, we like to go in with our educated guesses and all the research that we do. The most crapshooty position, though, is quarterback, because so much depends on what's between the ears, coaching, scheme, fit, all that, even more than any other position. So if he goes to the Giants, like you said, the Saints, who, you know, yep, they committed a lot of money to Derek Carr. Right. So it's probably going to take a lot to get Rattler on the field because of the money, but they're also not going to like cart Derek Carr out there if they're like, you know, lose if they're like 0-9 or 10, you know, like it's, you know, not going to happen. Right. I'm just kind of looking at the teams here off the top of my head, and you know, who knows, like what if New England trades out and doesn't take Drake May or something like that. And they've got Brissett as sort of the bridge and they want to develop Rattler a bit. You know, I don't love New England, but that's a lot better spot to be than in some other spots, right? So there's teams like that, and you know, he late day two, early day three, you know, in the NFL draft, and he lands in a spot where you can see a path like that. Sure, why not? You know, let's throw a late second or a third round pick in rookie drafts at Rattler, because you know, Superflex is important. And also, just want to mention, rewinding to the part about C.J. Stroud, requesting Tank Dell, Patrick Mahomes Pat Mahomes, baseball, Patrick Mahomes requested Rashee Rice, right? So, you know, maybe something to think about. Like, maybe these quarterbacks know what they're talking about.
On that, I was off on Rice because there has never, since Tariq Hill, no quarterback in an Andy offense, or sorry, no quarterback, no wide receiver, no rookie wide receiver in an Andy offense has made any sort of an impact since Tariq Hill. So you had no reason to believe that Rashee Rice would be any different except that. And I had underplayed, as much as I overplayed the Tank Dell news, I underplayed that news because I just figured that Andy wouldn't give him the ball because that's just not what Andy does.
Yeah, I kind of middled on Rice. Like, so I really liked him coming out. Thought he was raw, you know, SMU as a weird offense, group of five, very limited route tree, but certainly some upside, especially when he kind of like checked some boxes and proved some stuff at the combine. And then he lands in the Chiefs. And honestly, my first reaction was a live reaction on a podcast was that I didn't like it because I thought we were all going to sky more it, you know, and get excited about a receiver on the Chiefs and be disappointed. Because to me at that point, he was just one of 95 wide receivers on that team who aren't Travis Kelce. Right. I didn't expect Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore to be a complete zero this year. And we also know that Andy Reid likes to have his rookie wide receivers learn all three wide receiver yep. positions, which can slow their development, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. So there's all these factors where I was like, shit, you know, in the second round, I was mixing in a fairly even amount of Rashee Rice with some Jaden Reed, but also some Jonathan Mingo. And that didn't turn out too well, right? No. So listen to Patrick Mahomes when he wants somebody. Yeah.
But, you know, Zach did say that Mahomes wanted CH, but CH got a lot of shot too. So, you know, it wasn't like CH didn't get a shot. Rice just did something with it. On your point about Derek Carr, Kyle added that the Saints can cut him in 25, but most likely 26. I'm okay with that. Rattler goes to that's a good one. I hadn't even thought about the Saints, but the Saints is a good one. Giants is a good one. If the Patriots moved back and took him, that'd be a great one.
Is he too erratic and wild for McVay to develop behind Stafford? Because a lot of people before J.J. McCarthy was getting top five steam liked him at 19 to the Rams. But I don't know. I think Rattler's a little too off struck. Like there's just something about the feel that I don't like in that sort of more precision offense that McVay likes to run.
But isn't McVay the QB whisperer? And that's like how his whole line is built and that no matter what he can kind of bring those guys into line. I mean, we're talking even with Stafford, you've got a season to get this guy right. And I mean, these guys get paid millions of dollars because they show up every day and they practice every day. And, you know, Allen Iverson has kind of made practice, you know, something that we joke about. But, I mean, there is a decent amount of practice that goes in for these young guys. And they can get, you know, into that system, you know, the old system quarterback. Every quarterback's a system quarterback. It just depends on what system they're in. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to doubt it. If he landed with the Rams, I would like that. Because, again, within 2 years, he's got probably a decent, but they could replace him next year. Maybe the quarterbacks next year come out and they fall into line where they can get one, and then all this is for naught. But I can only go off of the information that I have today. And if he falls in the Rams today and he's good today, then I like it. It's just like the Titans last year.
Raiders might work. You know, he's only got Minshew and AOC there.
And Minshew's a two-year project. We know that.
Right. So, I mean, Cleveland certainly, I mean, as much as they have a guaranteed contract to Watson, like, and they want to make that work, like, they also don't want to lose, and they don't have much certainty going on there with Jameis Winston or, you know, whoever. Yeah. Like, I just, yeah. So there's teams where if he lands there as like the second string or, you know, something like that, where he can develop a little bit, like, you know, there's certainly a shot for sure. And at that point, the price that you're getting him for is really
good. You just got to be aware of where he falls and, you know, you got to look at it and know that this is a super flex only option. If you play one QB, you don't need Spencer Rattler. Not this year. You can get him off your waiver wire probably, or you can take him in the fifth round or something ridiculous. But I am because 95% of my leagues are super flex. My original home league is a single QB league, and I'm holding the belt from that league right now and plan to dominate it for, you know, several years, but we'll see. But best laid plans and all. But most of my leagues are super flex. So I did want to bring up a super flex one because while the other four will work for either style, I think you need a couple of bullets in super flex. And the problem with quarterback, like you're talking about, is you can only get one on the field at a time. Running back, you have two running back formations. You can, you know, a guy gets knocked up and another quarterback comes in. Running back comes in. That doesn't happen at quarterback. At quarterback, you have one guy that plays, you know, 90, 95% of the game. So you need him to fall into the right place. Blake Watson could fall into the wrong place, but move into the spot. Mine has a 5-round draft, Kyle. But it does get pretty thin towards the bottom. And that's why I like looking at sleepers, is because I have a 1QB league that goes 5 rounds. And so I have to know who some of these guys are because I got to take them late. Mm-hmm. But no, I do. I think Rattler's going to be one that for super flex, you got to keep an eye on those quarterbacks. Cause you know, just like I said, any RB on a 53, any QB on a 53, you got to look at, and you got to see where they fall within that team.
Right on. All right. So before we land the plane on all this, you're not on here much. Anything else that you want to talk about during rookie season, or anything else you want to tell the fans or tell folks that they're doing in their fantasy leagues, some tips or tricks or anything else that you want to get off your chest?
You know, just don't overreact to everything we hear. Make note of the negatives that come from coaches because they're telling you something. Coaches want to be positive this time of year, all the way through spring training. They want to tell you all the great things. But be aware. Be aware of what's getting said out there. And like we talked about, just listen. You got to cut through the noise. Cut through the noise. Everybody's great this time of year. Everybody's great through draft season. But cut through the noise and find who you believe in and can cut through and listen to what matters. And if you can do that, you're going to find so much more success with your fantasy leagues. And last year, I put 80% of my leagues into the playoffs. I think half of those had first round buys. I was so proud of myself. And my butt, I'm trying not to swear, my butt got kicked because I just did not, my players didn't have it. And when you're in playoffs and it's one and done, you know, it is what it is. But build the teams to get you to the playoffs because you never know what's going to happen. And all you can do is get yourself to the playoffs and then let things go from there. But put yourself in a position where you can make the moves of the rest of your team and the rest of your league isn't making, and you'll find yourself in a lot more playoffs than you have in years past.
All right. So that'll just about do it from two folks who probably can't claim they're in the best shape of their life. Please subscribe, rate, review to the Going for Two Live audio feed. and follow and all that jazz. If you're here on the YouTubes, do all those things too. Subscribe, like, comment, notifications and implant it into your brain. We must feed the algorithm. Sleeper, 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 NFL draft, rookie, fantasy, dynasty, sleeper, sleeper, sleeper. And so please make sure that you go to goingfor2.com. We've got all sorts of things for you there. Dynasty, DFS, redraft, rookies. And as Troy mentioned before, we've got a great Discord, which, you flagged something that I didn't think of. For the number of people who are in there, I don't know that I've ever had a negative interaction in there.
I haven't.
And that's wild these days, like wild.
I don't get necessarily paid by Jeff. I wrote one article in 2 years. I'm pretty proud of it. I'm not getting anything to say this, but Jeff does a really good job with when somebody asks a question, he like breaks it out and then you can go in and several people can ask, and there's great people in there. There's people in there that are in, high priced Patreons that you might not otherwise get. I've seen Shane is the worst answer questions in there. He's one of the smartest guys in the community. Kyle, myself, you, I've seen a lot of other people answering questions in there that are, people that you should be paying good money for their opinions on, and they're there free. And we do a lot with setting people up for Scott Fishbowl. So if you get into that then you can have a chance to do drafts in there and talk to other people about that. I mean, it's just, I can't say enough good things about what Jeff has done with the Discord. And a lot of that is on Jeff. So kudos to him for all he does for Going for Two and with that Discord.
All right, Troy. time for, you know, plugs. Where can people find you and your work on all the social medias, et cetera?
So I'm Voice in Fuego on everything. If a new site pops up, I try to grab that there. The biggest thing is, if you own a website or you just need t-shirts or any sort of designs like that, my wife and I are trying to get off the ground with FuegoMakers.com or FuegoFantasy.com. I'm very proud of what we've done there. We've done a lot of work for Dynasty Trades HQ, IDP Nation. Mm. We're trying to get a little more going because it's, you know, any new business you start, we're kind of stuck in the mud. So if we can do something for you or your website, please let us know, because we would love to. We are super competitive on prices, and that's a big deal for me. You know, hopefully someday being able to do that more and my everyday job less.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at @FFJunkie_. Although I don't know, I think my days are numbered there. I think I'm just going to tweet out like when I write an article or something, because I'm just done with those people. Rankings and articles on goingfortwo.com. Been doing some rookie profiles because it's rookie season. Dropped a few, you know, Jonathan Brooks, Ladd McConkey, Roman Wilson, I think a couple more. And I have Jalen Wright. Marvin Harrison Jr. I have Jalen Wright coming up soon as well. Going to be finishing that up this weekend, and there's just all sorts of great stuff on the website as well. You can find me also midweek audio only Dynasty podcast called Dynasty Fever at Dynasty Fever Pod with Jesse Schneeman from the DWZ family of content. I think we've done a really good job there on settling on, like, if you turned it on, it's two friends who really love Dynasty having thoughtful conversations about Dynasty. And I think if that's for you, then you're going to like it. You know, you may be intimidated by the 90-minute episode or something like that. Listen to it in chunks. Like, you know, we have some good stuff, and I'd like to think that we have some humorous asides as well. And Going for Two of Live here, of course, has a podcast pretty much every day or night of the week, and that's going to increase a lot over the offseason and, of course, into the season as well. All right, that'll do it for us. That's a wrap. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And in Josh's absence, I will say go Irish and go Braves, even though I hate both. Good night.